SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Santa Anita Park. I don't know how I made it, which I'll tell you about in a minute. A very good Friday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebick.com. And it started out leisurely enough, the trip to the West Coast. You figure that three-hour time difference gives you a lot of leeway. That wasn't the case, considering that I did not get into a hotel room. We're at the Constance, as usual, in Pasadena. I did not get into a hotel room until 5:30 Eastern time, just in time for Tina to get up to go to school. And I did give her the wake-up text. I did, wasn't there to make her coffee, which is her usual M.O., husband coffee, as she calls it, because her coffee just does, for whatever reason, even if I tell her the measurements, 10 cups, 6 scoops, just can't get it right. 2 years at the Selborne and she still can't get it right. I've traveled, not just in this capacity, but in a long business career, from 1982, I've traveled a lot and been on a lot of aircraft. I cannot recall what happened in Baltimore where we went to change planes and everybody settled in and it's a full plane. Every seat is taken up, up, up. And then literally as you're supposed to be pulling back from the gate, we hear, folks, sorry, you're going to have to deplane. This aircraft is unserviceable. It's not a word you want to hear when you're going to be going 6 hours across the country and you know above ground, 30,000 feet in the air. One of the engines wouldn't start. I mean, they literally pulled in to Baltimore, unloaded people, put us on, and then they couldn't restart. And it's no different than any of us, where all of a sudden you go out to the car. I think what happened was I think somebody in the cockpit that left the dome light on, and the battery it's crazy. So now we have to wait for some other aircraft, some other unwitting aircraft to show up 2 hours later, unbelievable. And then of course you still have to fly the 6 hours. Craziness. Of course, a good 2.5 of it was taken up by the Bears, the Bears beating the Cowboys. So that always lightens the mood. And I slept a good 2.5 hours. So I'm relatively fresh. And I slept an hour and a half once I got to the Constance. So I feel good. I feel all right. But it was a long, arduous process. Believe me, to make our way here. And this whole trip is sort of backwards anyway, because invariably the Starlet and Futurity tomorrow at Los Al are usually on the other end of this trip. Arizona, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for symposium. I can't wait to be there, and it's really shaped up as a very nice edition of symposium. It's always interesting. Great to see the kids. Liz Bracken will be honored and remembered, undoubtedly. We'll get as many tributes into Liz as possible. But this year, the way this calendar, it's been such a funny calendar. This first weekend at Los Al for the big juvenile races, and looking forward to being over there tomorrow. I come here, though. The last couple of years I've come here because rather than broadcast from the building at Los Al, where I'm sort of sequestered and have no access to anybody, being here provides a opportunity, although it is weekend preview day, and there's plenty to discuss. And we'll give you a quick overview before we dive into the action. And it includes later in the show, in fact, the last visit, the kickoff conversation for the Gulfstream winter. And they really have made something out of the two events this weekend. And tomorrow, the Claiming Crown, which really has found a home in South Florida after several years of being moved around and featured notably up at Canterbury, and it moved around on the calendar, and now these last several years settling in as a seemingly permanent home for the Claiming Crown. And I guess in some ways, probably Shecky Shabazz, excuse me, the biggest name on the docket. There's always some horses that are starter eligible for the Claiming Crown, and they move on down the pike and elevate and go up the ladder, and then they come back and they get a chance to run. And in fact, Bob Hess, the proximity too close for Zuzana, but you heard Bob Hess when we talked to him last week about what he's doing with her. They're going to take her to Florida and take advantage of her Florida bred breeding and some of the things that she's eligible for at Gulfstream over the winter. So same holds true for these nice fields for the Claiming Crown. And then on Sunday, the Carib, the Cup de Carib, which has really become, from all reports and images, a smashing success. And it brings out the Latin population, Central and South America horsemen and horses and riders. And it's become a very highly anticipated afternoon at Gulfstream. So we'll talk to Mike Welch late in the show, last segment. We've got, obviously, the New York action and the LaSalle action, the major focus. But James Scully will be here in this hour. We'll talk to Scully about those two-year-old stakes that I rifled through with you yesterday after the draws at Parks, the nursery, at Laurel, the Maryland championships for juvenile male and female. Nice fields. And I asked him, what was the one other? There was one other. Laurel. I'm forgetting. Tampa. The Sandpiper and the inaugural. There we go. So James will cover the juveniles and whatever else he wants to dive in on. Mike Beer is going to join us in hour one, and Dave Grenig in hour three, Nick Tamaro in hour two. So we'll have a trio of New York-centric analysis. Dave will catch us up on other news as well. Hammer, we'll check in with Hammer, of course. And Jeff Siegel. One of these visits, maybe in the spring, maybe March, April-ish, one of the trips here for Big Cap and or Santa Anita Derby. We got to get the brain, as they call him, around these parts. We have to get Siegel back on in person. Do you remember years ago we used to always get a chance to, particularly at Derbies and Breeders' Cup, we would get, this is HRTV days, we would get Cruzy and Siegel, which was the best odd couple. Although I would put Seth Merrill and myself right up against Cruzy and Siegel as fun, quirky pairings of punditry and frivolity, because of course Siegel taciturn and learned and studious, and Vercruzy. I don't even have to try to describe him. You just say Vercruzy. When you have a name like Vercruzy, you're halfway there to the frivolous part, to the happy, upbeat presence that Aaron possesses, right? You have a name that already is mirthful to begin with. But at some point, we used to always have the two of them together. And Mig and Hazleton, Mig and Scott would always be a pairing visit. We've had several Zoe and Millie Ball pairings. We can still do that. That still works. XBTV. And speaking of XBTV, that gives me one quick note I want to slip in before we start to get into the analysis and do some notable news and recap, including some of the stuff that's happened already this week. Very nice start to this, as we sort of anticipated, the nice start to Turfway's season, which included a pick five carryover into yesterday and a squirrely sequence. I know there were two favorites that won on the card opening night. And then yesterday, that at least the early part, I was kind of watching, as I sat, as I sat in Baltimore and keeping track a little bit of what was happening. And even in the air, I went back to see how it closed out. But a lot of mid-price type horses here early, the first two runnings at Turfway. And I know on Wednesday night, they approached, I think, close to a million. I had to be somewhere between 850 and 950. They don't have the tally at the bottom of the page on the charts, but I did a quick, just kind of quickly glancing, and they were pulling in 80,000 a race, it seemed, on average. With that low takeout that Chip talked about, the pick fours and the pick five, and those fields, if that's going to be your formula at Turfway, it's going to be a fun winter to follow through on some of the horses from Keeneland and Churchill through the fall. And also, others, of course, Arlington horses, as we mentioned, and Presque Isles got those fields populated. I think it's going to be a meet well worth keeping track of and looking for opportunities. The little, very quiet, I would call it an announcement yesterday, but Express Bet introduced and on a more wide basis, let it be known that the trifecta veils, you've heard me use the term veils for several years, ever since the one of our favorite players of all time and just one of the people we miss a lot at the racetrack, our man Chet. He taught me how to, Johnny introduced us, and he was gone 2 years later, health issues, and Chet had introduced the concept of the veils as their merchandised in South American tote. And the veils on the wager slate, when you're watching South American racing, those feeds, they were a more or less an algorithmic reading of the trifectas. And it was useful to give you an idea of how horses were being bet down there. And we'd heard for years when it came to the North American tote, that trifecta will pays or probables were going to materialize. And yesterday, ExpressBet sent out the missive that they're beginning to roll them out on the platform, and it basically is a seemingly manageable and quick read. You use the horse that you're keying as on top, and then it gives you the typical two horse grid so that you can see the probables with the horse that's second and then whichever ones are third. And it's going to take a little, I'm sure, some habit and practice. But those of you that are try betters, I think you should be excited. And when we talk to Johnny on Monday, I don't know if Jeff knows the rollout plan. Johnny certainly would be out more ahead of it and has been, you know, hinting around this development. So very cool. And you'll have to start checking it out. And you can see the screen cap that ExpressBet had sent yesterday. It gives you an idea of how it looks. And then today on the Gulfstream action, that's a place where you can start to poke and prod and kick some tires with it. All right. So I thought that was pretty cool. It's also cool that Casey's on the board. We started the week with Casey on Monday, Deja, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Case closing it out. So everybody that hasn't, you know, on the weekend preview groups, the different lineups that we feature, we'll get to hear from Casey this morning when they call. And that's Mike Beard, James Scully. I'm just hearing from Nick. What is Nick saying? Nick wants to go late. All right. Yeah, maybe. All right. I got to work on that. Nick wants to go in after 11, which is Grenick, Siegel, and Welsh. All right. With this break, I have 2.5 minutes to to make the magic happen, make it work. Mike Beer, James Scully, Nick Tamaro, Ed DeRosa, Rick Hammerly, Grenick, Siegel, Welsh. And actually, I should also tell you that we'll try to fit Alan in from TDN. He's in Hong Kong. Got a late missive from him, too. So I'll see. He's available after 9:30. So maybe we'll slip him in. I don't know. I'll figure it out. I did something very stupid, which was left my coat. That was another part of the odyssey getting here. I had to switch rental cars because the rental car that they gave me, we got to the gate and they said, "Oh, this needs an oil change." I left my coat in there, so I have to go back and get it later. And this is not a place to here in the foothills of the San Gabriels to not have my coat. But actually, it's actually nice. It's probably 50-ish this morning. Quiet here at Santa Anita. Although Glatt and Carava, who are an entry every morning right down there, they're on hand. I wish I could tell you that there's a buoyant atmosphere, but they're really not right now anyway. It's early. It is early, right? That's it. I don't have a lot of other, at my fingertips, I don't really have a lot of other major headlines. It's just good racing action. I will note Tuesday, Timonium. We got season ender sales action. I almost forgot. Happened to notice that as I was reading stuff on the travel yesterday. We're at Santa Anita. We're going to be in Los Al tomorrow. We'll be in Arizona Monday. At the races. Sirius XM, just getting going. We're going to start previewing the weekend when we come back.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Bringing down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Donner, rapper, done right. Extinguish, crutch of a roller inside your fingers. Nothing lasts, but nearly everything lingers in life. Cell phone service is not that expensive, but that takes commitment and you just don't have it. Feels so effortless to be a stranger, but feeling foreign, such a lonely habit. You can't crop yourself out of the picture. Out of focus, but still framed inside. Well, the end got blurry and my heart started hurting for you.
We're back at the races.
Yeah.
About 20-something in, 23. Still adjusting to the new glasses that is a struggle. I will tell you, distance is fine. That part is all right. It's the close work, boy. Things that are like a foot and a half and up, you know, up close, including, frankly, the past performances. Tina told me I'm going to have to consider those large print format options. Like I was poking around online about and on my, you know, on my phone. Jesus. I'm the first to admit I've been, knock on wood, I've been very fortunate when it comes to health. Really, you know, having hit 60 2 weeks ago, I can't complain much, but I don't know. If I was given a choice of maladies, if they'd said, vision issue or I don't know. I pick a, you know, pick something that happens when you reach 60. I don't know what it is per se. Arthritis. There you go. Perfect. If somebody said arthritis or vision, I think I'd take the arthritis. Alex, I'll take arthritis for 200. Oh, boy. I love it. And here he is. I'm vamping, obviously. Mike Beard joining us. Good morning.
What have I missed, Steve? What are you... You're talking about debilitating diseases while you got me on hold.
Well, my eyes, I got the new glasses, the post detached retina glasses, and it's got this crazy. I literally have a kaleidoscope in my lens. It's funny. You'd see those people with that prismatic section of their eyeglass, and you know, you didn't think much of. Well, that's what I have, and it,
that's what
and
you
it,
have. Okay.
Yeah, and so. I don't know. At some point, I'm worried about, you know, I'm going to end up like Marty Feldman here with you know.
I don't want to have to make the choice that you were laying out before. But just speaking as someone who has a little bit of arthritis going on, it's no picnic.
Wow.
Something I've had. Right. I've been dealing with for a while, for just from some old injuries, but they like never really healed. Yeah, it's not that much fun.
Well, I very quietly, and it's funny you say that about injuries, because so many of my friends, and of course, because I broadcast sports and college and so forth, and so many of them, you know, that, you know, well after their playing careers, I mean, it's certainly well documented when it comes to the professional athletes.
Right.
They're suffering the ill effects, and I have always said to myself, well, it's good that you were a marginal athlete. And you were one of those guys that had to write. And I was a scorekeeper. I was a manager of teams in high school. And although I played baseball, the baseball is the one thing, because, you know, baseball, you could be a marginal athlete, and hustle took you a long way in baseball. Yeah. If you did little things, you know, as a second baseman, you did little things.
Yep. I will say the one thing that has really come a long way as far as dealing with the arthritis side of it, the medications have gotten real good. I've been on the injectable ones.
Wow.
Or, you know, at first, you know, you're taking all the pills. They would put you on any kind of pill just to see what would happen, and none of them, for me anyway, worked. Once they got me on the injectable, Steve, forget about it. I feel like, you know, it's not that much of a problem for me anymore as long as I stay on it. So,
well,
that's one thing that I think is a big advantage for the arthritis people.
Interesting. What kind of did you play? What were your?
I was basketball, prowess. Baseball, and basketball, baseball. But I had, you know, really, I got a really bad knee problem, and then had an injury actually playing baseball with my hands that. And so I have one of the fingers on my right hand is like basically it doesn't even move anymore. But the pain is not there anymore because I'm on the good meds.
because you're on the meds.
I shoot myself up every 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I was cruising. I was rounding the turn and cruising, you know, 59 to 60, and I kind of blew the turn here with this eye, I got to tell you. Anyway, well, let's you crotchety and me blind, let's try to get going into what is a terrific card. And hopefully, you know, yesterday the Tepin came off the turf, and just so happened that minor upset. I thought that Bill Motors 9-2 was a good price on the winner of the Tepin, and the MTO. I thought Weaver was super clever cross entering as an MTO, and he almost pulled it off. We'll see it today about the Central Park. Hope that stays on. Have you heard anything? We'll talk to Grenig later.
Still haven't heard anything about it. I know they're doing their best to keep it on, but I haven't heard a final decision yet. So.
Well, they also, of course, front-loaded the two stakes tomorrow that were postponed. So all of a sudden, what is always a good day when it comes to Cigar Mile Day with the Remsen, the Demoiselle, and the Gopher Wand now also has the added pleasure of the two turf stakes. And so we'll keep an eye on those two, and we'll get some opinions. But let's talk about the major attraction tomorrow. And it's funny to me, Mike, that after all the grousing and the cat kicking about three-year-olds, here we are at a race like the Cigar Mile, and the sophomores are the focus.
Sure enough, it's a very good point, because you're right. The three-year-olds have taken a lot of heat for just not being turning out to be that good, I guess, this year. I do think, you know, one of the things, I guess, that really played into that is just the fact that Maximum Security, since the Derby, hasn't really been able to get a campaign going. So that has hurt the three-year-olds because, you know, as it turns out, he's actually a very good horse. But, yeah, you're right. The focus, I think, is on those two horses. I don't know, Steve. I keep looking at this race, and I'm not against either one of them. I'm not really sure what we're going to get from Spun to Run. It's really hard to knock his last two races, though. You know, I go back and watch the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile and just see him getting absolute control of that pace. And, you know, just wonder if he's going to be able to run that race again against better horses if, you know, Maximum Security is just not going to concede to him. I can't imagine that they will. So, you know, I don't know. I kept looking at it. Of the two, I prefer Maximum Security. I have this feeling, though, that I just can't picture IRAD not being aggressive with Spun to Run. So I keep seeing this race with those two horses hooking up. And I don't. Maybe they won't do that. You know, they certainly don't have to do that. But I think if that scenario plays out, it sort of opens the race up maybe for some other horses. Because let's face it, I mean, this is a major race. There are some good horses in here. But, you know, outside of those two three-year-olds, there are no stars in this race. This is not a super strong field for a grade one over a mile. So I think they hold all the cards. The only thing that could maybe set it up for somebody else to do some damage is those two racing each other early. I think there's a real chance that that happens. And so to me, that makes the race interesting. I didn't necessarily think, you know, any of the other horses, you know, are, you know, super interesting on their own. I did pick somebody else in the race just because I felt like it could set up well. And I happen to have a real thing for Nicodemus. I think he's a horse who's a lot better than he looks on paper. I don't know. Listen, I don't know if this is the right spot. And he's off this layoff. And Linda did enter him back on Sunday in the Fall Highway again. So maybe she'll just run him there. But if he runs here, I'm just going to fool around with him because I think he's better than he looks, Steve. You know, he's an interesting horse to me. First of all, this race could set up for him. I think he does want to sit and sort of make one run into a race. That could play to his advantage in here if he runs here. And I just think it's interesting to take his form apart since he got to New York for Linda Rice because he has run seven times in New York, four of them on sloppy sealed tracks. And I know that both of his wins are on sloppy sealed tracks. But when I watch him run, I don't really feel like he's a horse who necessarily likes a wet track. I think he's a better horse on fast dirt. I think his True North, two starts back, is a super underrated performance. And he's a Westchester winner over a sloppy track that, you know, he kept after a fast pace in there. They didn't take him out of his game in there to chase a fast pace, but he did it and he won. And I don't know. I just thought he was interesting at a price. Maybe he can't win, but I'm going to use him, you know, mostly with Maximum Security and Spun to Run and see if I can get him in there. And maybe if things break the right way and Linda does decide to run him, you know, maybe he can just run one of his really good races. I'm a fan of this horse. I think he's better than he looks on paper.
Before I talk about two older horses that seem to have races both recently and you know, within the scope to impact this, two older horses, what do you expect from Chad's pair that line up shoulder to shoulder, network effect, and looking at Bikinis, two more three-year-olds?
Yeah, I know. It's interesting that he's running them both here. I found it hard to like either one of them. It's funny to me. When Network Effect finally came back from the layoff last month, I was exchanging some messages with Serling about him because Andy likes him a lot more than I do. And I just wasn't, you know, but he was obviously good last year, but I wasn't a big fan of his as a two-year-old. And I just didn't strike me as a horse who was going to get better over time. I'm probably wrong about that. He actually ran pretty well when he came back off the layoff last time. But I don't know. I had a tough time seeing him being effective in this race. Maybe he'll prove me wrong. If I had to take one of the two, Chads, I would take looking at bikinis just because, I don't know, I feel like, you know, going longer, he had an excuse in the curling, but going longer just may not be his thing anyway. He might be better horse going shorter. He's undefeated around one turn. His win at Keeneland was fine. I was blown away when they cut him back at Keeneland, but he won that race pretty easily. I could see him maybe getting a piece, but I didn't love either one of those horses.
Well, when it comes to the elders, we got to talk about Whitmore Down Inside, who, you know, after all the agonizing from Ron Moquette over and La Penta and the team about coming to Santa Anita, he ended up running a terrific race in the sprint. And, you know, somebody was going to be third to Matoli and Chancelot, and it was him. And he ran very well, and third off the layoff, so to speak, and the mile is an unknown quantity with him, but I don't see why it's not workable, and he certainly has efforts that put him, you know, in the discussion, and should we get some pace prompting from anybody else beside the two obvious players in Maximum Security and Hard to Spun, if the pace starts to boil over, he becomes interesting. And Val Harbor, who's very quietly had a nice year. He hasn't won, but he's got 3 seconds, 2/3, and he's done it doing a lot of different things. This is a turn back for him to the one turn mile, and that's been an effective formula for him. He's been good at a mile with 3 of his 5 career wins, and he absolutely, I mean, looking at that Woodward effort, why isn't Bal Harbor a player? And he could maybe set up shop right behind the two dueling speeds if that's the way it unfolds.
Yeah, I like the turn back for him. He's another horse who I personally am not convinced that he's good enough to win a race like this. But I do like him cutting back, and I hear what you're saying about his trip potential, too, because he's a tactical horse. I don't know. I've just never been that big a fan. My problem with him mostly is just that, to me, the only race that makes him really competitive here is the Woodward. And I sort of feel like, you know, the Woodward was, to me anyway, more a function of him just getting the perfect trip for that race, because, you know, that Woodward was just a race that did not develop that quickly in front. I, you know, thought the closers were very badly compromised in that race. And, you know, to me, Bell Harbor took advantage in that race and picked up a big grade one placing for him. I'm just not a fan. I like the cutback for him. Whitmore, to me, is a tougher call because he's clearly good enough to win this race. And it feels like, especially the one turn mile, you know, getting out to the mile, I think should be good for him. Or it should be okay for him. I think he's a better sprinter, but he's, you know, the one turn mile could work. It's funny because you have to go back, Steve. I'm sure you remember this, but you have to go back to 2016 when he was a 3-year-old. You know, the Derby didn't work out for him. I feel like, you know, going back and thinking about that, you could see that coming. He deserved the chance to run in the Derby, but he didn't feel like a horse who was really suited for that race. But he was on the Derby trail. He hit the board in all 3 of the preps at Oak Lawn that year. You know, the races were a little too far for him. The two-turn routing was a little too far, but he acquitted himself pretty well going longer as a 3-year-old. And then, you know, of course, they did the right thing by him, and he's rewarded them with, I don't know, almost $3 million in earnings as a really good sprinter. But I can see him getting a one-turn mile, and especially, again, if the 2 3-year-olds hook it up in this race and race each other, I mean, I would expect Whitmore to come running at the end.
I'll give you one more before we talk about the 2-year-old races. Mike Beer with us from the Forum, and the Fipke homebred Tale of Silence is coming off a career best. And that came in the Bold Ruler, where he sat basically, kind of stalk, and then Junior Alvarado, who is as tactical a rider and as underrated as anybody out there, and Junior, you know, extracted his career best performance. He was moving late. It wasn't going to get to Maximum Security, certainly in the Bold Ruler. But if he takes a step forward from that effort, and there's no reason why he also doesn't get that mid-pack, fifth kind of a trip, sitting, I don't know, 4 or 5 lengths off, kind of a stalk and go effort.
I think he's interesting, and he's going to be lost on the board.
He's going to be a big price in this race. I'd use him underneath for sure.
Yeah.
You know, going back to the Bold Ruler, you know, Maximum Security sort of dominated those horses. They should have given Junior an extra percentage for that race for getting his horse second, because it's almost like he rode him for second. He just sat it out, let everybody else chase Maximum Security, and he just rode the rail into the stretch and then, you know, let this horse come on and get second. I thought he gave him a great ride, and if he rides him like that again, I think he can get a piece. He was hard for me to make on top. He's hard to make on top in all of his races. He it seems like he never gets there, but, you know, you could use this horse underneath. He's going to be a big price in this race.
There's your Cigar Mile analysis, and we didn't want to cheat. We shouldn't cheat Uriah St. Louis, who brings Forewarned, who's just a nice, seems like Uriah St. Louis finds these and develops them. And, you know, the Kelso winner deserves a mention.
Yeah, how about Pat on the Back? I can see
Pat on the Back.
All right, right? Sure.
Pat on the Back.
This is what he really wants.
Yep. And that leaves, True Timber, the last of the other names.
Yeah, True Timber, you know, he's not impossible. He sort of lost me. He's a horse that I was a fan of early in his career for Kieran, especially when they finally cut him back, because that seemed like what he really wanted. I don't love his two races since he came back from Dubai, but, maybe he takes a step forward in this race. I will say that they could ride him differently in this race, because last time it almost felt like they thought, you know, we're going to try and beat Maximum Security. They actually went after him and tried to race Maximum Security around the turn of the race, and it wound up costing him at the end, but they could ride him a little more conservatively this time and maybe get him a different trip, and that could work out for them.
Well, we should note that he was second in this race last year with Pattern Recognition and was coming off a very similar, well-beaten performance in the Bold Ruler a year ago. So there's a little bit of precedent, and it really, obviously there was no trip to Dubai, but it's really the same pattern arc, third off the layoff. Kieran using the same approach that extracted a career best effort and got beat less than a length a year ago in this same spot. Let's talk about the two-year-olds. Mike Beer with us. Mike, the Remsen and the Demoiselle, and of course, everyone looks forward to later next spring and summer when everybody is saying, oh God, they were terrible races.
I know. It's so true that, especially the Remsen. I know the Remsen people seem to love to bash that race like it's no good.
It's bizarre.
Yeah, it's very strange. I don't know. I did the analysis for this race before the morning line came out. I guess I'm not going to argue with the line. I guess the Mod Horse, who I do like, Forza Bioro, I guess if he's going to be the favorite, that would interest me less with him. But I don't know. I have really no knocks on that horse. I like both of his races. And, he's not fast on the way in, but I'm not going to really worry about that right now, because he's only run twice. Nobody's fast in this race at this point. So I don't care about the figures. I like both of his races. He's got plenty of pedigree to stretch out, at least on the bottom. It seems like the Spikestown can do anything anyway. But I don't know. I just don't have any real argument with Forza Dioro. Again, I wouldn't take a super short price on him, but I have no argument with him. I liked him in this race, Steve, and the other horse for me, and if I could do it all over again, and had seen the morning line before I was done, maybe I just would reverse my top two picks and put Prince James on top. And I know that Prince James he's slow on the way into this race. And, I don't want to worry about figures too much, but he's slow on the way in. But what I like about him is I liked his debut. His debut at Monmouth, where they went long with him first time out around two turns, it wasn't a good field, but he won easy. And I like, they just kept him wide. It's almost like Paco knew that this horse was going to win. He didn't save any ground with him. He kept him out into the track. He rode him very confidently. And this horse won easy at the end of the day in there. And then he came back, and it looks like he was exposed last time at Churchill. And I don't think that he was. I think that race is a total mirage on paper. He hurt his own chances because he didn't break great from the gate. He just wasn't sharp at all. But they crawled on the lead in that race. The horse that won the race went to the front in there and backed it down, and nobody went after that horse. He couldn't have gone any slower, and Prince James was just sitting off the pace on the inside and just not doing anything. I really don't even know what they were doing in there. And then he finally ran through the stretch. It was way too late. He had no chance to win, but I didn't think he ran poorly at all last time, even though he was defeated as the favorite. And he's another horse. I just think he's better than he looks on paper, and he's going to be a price, and I'm definitely using that horse.
How about that? And there are some horses, whether you he obviously is a little dirtied up. There's the horse of O'Dwyer. I think Jerry O'Dwyer made a very savvy move scratching out of last weekend's action at Churchill and taking Shotsky here. There's nothing wrong with Shotsky in here. He's by Blame out of Bluegrass Catmare. He should relish the two turns.
I agree that they made a wise move to run in this race. We'll see what he does. I struggle with the street sense as a race. I'm not, you know, this horse didn't run bad. He didn't run poorly at all in that race, and he was wide basically every step of the way. It was just, to me, I don't know if you know have looked at it closely yet or not. I just struggled with it because there was never a point where it looked like he was going to win, but there was also never a point where it looked like he was even going to be fourth. It looked like he was just ready to throw in the towel for about the last 3/8 of a mile. And he never did. He just kept staying and staying and staying and wound up only getting beaten a couple lengths in there. I don't love the street sense as a race overall. It kind of looked like a bad race to me, but I couldn't really knock the way that this horse ran because it sort of felt like he overachieved in that race. And so maybe that's a good sign for him. And I agree with you that the distance could really work for this horse. So I'm not, I don't love him, but I'm not against him in this race either.
Well, and no knock on the Sheldon Russell, who has ridden him the last two, but getting Luis Saez for a two-turn opportunity is significant. And I think this horse is very dangerous. Adam Wachtel and Gary Barber and company. We should mention the Cleon Jones, who's had a interesting career. And whether you look on Byers or whether you look on Thoroughgraph, he has gotten better with every single start. It hasn't necessarily resulted in wins, but he also is running into some nice horses. So he seems like a steady developer. It's interesting that he's going to have to make the transition from, you know, one turn to two turns and stretch from 8 panels to out to 9. That's notable. Todd Pletcher, we can't do this analysis and not talk about the pair from Todd, who seems like he has very cleverly been handling his young horses toward next year. And the presence of Chase Tracker inside, who took an interesting trip to Parks to break his maiden. And then you've got Alpha 66 for Paul Pompa outside. I thought that Todd, in the very old-fashioned Todd Pletcher style, has got two serious players in here.
I agree. I think they're both contenders. We'll have to see what happens with today's race because they're both entered main track only,
right,
in the state today. And I guess if that comes off, maybe one of them would stay in, and the other one. I don't know how Todd's going to do it, but we'll see what happens. I think they're both contenders in here. I prefer Alpha 66 to Chase Tracker, but I think it's very close between the two of them. I just, with Alpha 66, I just really liked his debut. I thought he ran really well first time out, even though, it wasn't a brilliant, debut for a Pletcher 2-year-old. I just liked the way that he won it. Never near a really good rail that day, always on the outside, and he was really game, I thought, to get up. I liked that effort, and I just wasn't going to hold the champagne against him. He was never a real factor in the champagne, but he wasn't embarrassed either. I didn't want to be too hard on him for that race. I like, that Pletcher's he's taking the blinkers off, and I like that for this horse. So I slightly preferred him to Chase Tracker, but I think they're both contenders in this race.
Anybody else? We didn't bring up Ajaweed.
I just struggled with Ajaweed. He can obviously win. I don't not like him. I thought his maiden win, I thought, was actually pretty good when they finally stretched him out. Obviously, that was the race where Forza D'Oro, he ran a giant race, Forza D'Oro, that day when he totally blew the brake. But Ajaweed ran well in that race, too. He wasn't going to win the Breeders' Futurity. I didn't love that effort from him. I wanted to see him run better than he did last time, but I don't know. He's a contender in this race, Steve. I couldn't really talk myself into him, but I don't feel like I would play like the pick 4 or the pick 5 and not use them anywhere. I just would sort of use them defensively, I guess.
And I know we're going to talk more about Shug in the demoiselle, but amends on the outside. And this is a horse that has some of the same qualities that you discussed with Prince James.
He does. I can see this horse taking a step forward again. His day, he was a typical, to me, Shug Firster at Saratoga. Just, you know, no speed at all and running at the end. It seemed like a useful debut. His maiden win is a tougher one to evaluate because it was in the swap, and, you know, that was the day they only ran that race. That was the first race, and they canceled right after. The track was a total mess. So, you know, who knows, you know, what it all means. But if nothing else, he looks like a different horse in his second start when they stretched him out. He traveled way better in that race. He took it over with no problem, and he was going away at the end. I thought he took a step forward last time. He has to take another step forward to beat this field, but that's what Shug horses do, right? They just keep taking steps forward.
Exactly. I talked to Shug the other day. We had a really fun visit, as always, whenever Shug's on. The horse among the juvenile contenders tomorrow that he seemed very high on was Alondra. Let's talk about the demoiselle.
Yeah, that's who I picked in the race. That's who I like in this race, Alondra. Since you spoke to him, and I don't know if this, you know, came up at all, Steve, but or maybe you could just give me your sense of it, but I was kind of surprised to see her in here. I wasn't surprised that they didn't run her in the Breeders' Cup, although I think she would have fit in the Breeders' Cup. But were you surprised that he didn't run there and is running here? Or was this like a plan for Shug? Did he talk about that? Because I was kind of surprised to see her. I didn't think we'd see her again after the Alcibiades.
They had a hiccup, and I'm going to forget. I'm going to draw a blank. I mean, these conversations, okay, they start to get
fuzzy.
But
they were thinking Breeders' Cup with her?
I don't think. I mean, he – listen, if you heard Shug on Wednesday, if he had it all to do over again, yeah, he wouldn't have taken Code of Honor. He wouldn't
I don't know.
He may not go to Del Mar. He might. he was not happy with the way things turned out. But you know, because he had her and he had Mrs. Danvers, and of course Mrs. Danvers, he said, is back on track. She's going to start back within 30 days. It just seems like that she's doing well. She kept training straight through after the Keeneland win.
Yeah, I like her in this race. It's funny because her debut was obviously good at Saratoga. It was sort of surprising to see her show as much speed as she did in that race and then to really dig in to win. I liked her debut quite a bit. And I feel like, you know, at the time watching the Alcibiades, it was just disappointing that, you know, because she was away with the field fine. Like, she broke fine in that race, and it almost just felt like Rosario made a conscious decision to take her back. And to me, he just got her too far out of it. And then she was running at the end just with no chance, but I actually felt like she put in a good run in that race. So, you know, at the time I thought it was disappointing. In retrospect, I don't know, it feels like the kind of thing that could actually set her up pretty well. She probably learned a lot from that race. And I still think she ran well in the Alcibiades, even though she was never a real factor as the favorite. So, I don't know, I like her in this race. She's got tons of pedigree on the bottom to just keep going on in distance. So I'm not, you know, worried about her stretching out at all. I just feel like there are a lot of things that point to her in this race. I am not against the morning line favorite, Medine. I like all three of her races. And I like, you know, her temp that first of all, I like that she beat a good horse. I think that power move for Shug is a good horse. And I like the way that she finished that race off. The final eighth of a mile of the time that this horse really ran. And so it makes me feel like the 9 furlongs is okay for her. So, you know, they're probably the two favorites, and I'm not against either one of them. I like them both. The only other horse that I'm really going to use is the horse on the rail, 50 Shades of Green. I like this horse. I have a little thing for her. I think she's just improving with every race, and they finally got her around 2 turns last time, and she won easy. I know it wasn't, you know, a super big field, a super strong field, but I thought she really improved with more distance last time. I'm using this horse. She's a big price on the line.
Well, she'll save ground every step, and it really should not have come as too much of a surprise that she would have stepped forward. You know, she is by Bernardini, out of a Touch Gold mare, and even in that maiden race at Laurel when she tried the grass, even there, she seemed to relish the two turns. And so when she went to Monmouth and won at the you know, very august distance of a mile and 70 yards, she, I think, was telegraphing what she might be. And boy, the greens, Len and Sun John, just with phalanx of horses everywhere you look. Sean Shays, a partner in 50 Shays of Green, and I'm glad you brought this one up. John Service comes up from Parks, so definitely.
There's a lot to like about her, especially at the price. And then you get Johnny V taken over too. I mean, there's a lot to like about her, and you're 100% right about bringing up that lower race, because as soon as they got the distance under her, that might not be the surface for her. But as soon as they got some distance under her, she really took a big step forward.
Well, we've got a couple of other races to talk about. And by the way, word official from Glenn Kozak that the Central Park will get run on the turf. And it's a fun race on the grass. Who'd you pick in there with it staying on grass?
Really? You're going to make, you know, expect me to remember?
I can get it. I can probably.
No, I got it. I got it right here.
All right.
What race is it today? It's the
seventh.
You know what it is. You know, I actually took a horse who I was going to take, even if it came off. I took Pino's horse, Shipping and Ashrak, who I liked that horse's debut on dirt at Parks. But it's, you know, there's a lot of turf in this horse's pedigree. I think this horse could really take a step forward off that debut. I like that horse in this race.
Well, what's the line? What's the price?
He was, I think, 12-1 on the line.
How about that? How about that? Yeah. All right. Nice. Who'd you pick in the seventh today?
Is that your race?
Yeah.
I got you second, I think.
All right, cool.
You know what? I actually almost put your horse on Tom, because that is not a strong race for the level, Steve. You guys landed in a good spot there. I, you know, sort of wound up. It took me a long time. I went through that race three different times, I think, and I wound up settling for the Engelhardt horse, who it's sort of an all or nothing in there. I feel like, what's that horse's name? The one who raced at Saratoga and Gilda Marie, I think her name is. Yeah, just she made her dirt debut. That was because I just remember that being there at Saratoga that day, and all of a sudden this horse off a year layoff had never run on dirt and was just taking all the money. Like, they knew this horse was going to win.
They knew.
And then she did win. Yeah, they did know. And then she did win, and he just came back. He just found a good spot right back. So your horse has been pretty good in her last two starts, though, Steve.
She is what she is. She's just a hard trying type, and she's, you know, small but mighty, and tries hard, and that's it. And we're bringing her back as a 6-year-old. Why not? You can't take her off the track. You can't put her on a van to give her a turnout. She won't go.
Oh, really?
Will not go. No, won't go.
Oh,
won't
good.
Go.
Good.
She's one of these horses that loves the, just prefers to be at the racetrack, and just in the mornings, everything's a race for her. She sees a horse. If she's galloping, if she sees a horse, you know, you can't.
She goes after it.
Yeah, nice. Exercise rider can't relax on her because she'll go tear after somebody.
That's
and
great.
Run off.
Well,
and,
she's going good right now. So
yeah, she's been
hopefully
terrific.
Hopefully she keeps it going. Yeah.
Just a absolute pleasure, and it's funny, her mother was the nastiest, most unpleasant, surly, just sullen mare, and Ausable, and she's as sweet as can be, absolutely.
Really?
Just an absolute kitten to be around. It's so funny. And she's got the exact same, for those that remember Ausable, she's got the exact same markings with that snip over the nostril. Oh yeah, I mean, she's got her mother's face, but does not have her mother's temperament, and she actually has more talent than her mother, but you know, that's the best part, right?
That's what you want.
Couple of other thoughts. Give us a couple other opinions. You got those maiden races, three of them, including two divisions of the mile race. What's going on in there for you? And then a couple of quick picks on the two turf stakes.
Of the maiden races, the horse I was most interested in is in the first race, actually. You know, that's one of the mile divisions. You know, Chad's horse is going to be the favorite cost basis, and that's the way the horse to beat off the 82 buyer last time. I thought he ran fine, and he's way the horse to beat in this race, but I'm going to take a shot with King Meister for Hennig's second-time starter. I feel like what stretching out is going to really, really help this horse, which I wouldn't have thought going into the debut, because this is a half-brother to Strike Power, the really fast sprinter that Hennig has. But outside of Strike Power, this whole family is routing. They all want to go long. I think this horse is really going to appreciate more ground. And, you know, his debut, he hit the gate at the start of it, so he wound up way at the back. And they just walked it. I mean, they couldn't have gone any slower in that race. He had absolutely no chance in there, The way the race was run. It happened 48 going 6 furlongs. I mean, they were crawling. And he was actually trying to run at the end. He just didn't really have a chance. I the more I look at him, the more I feel like he's really going to benefit stretching out. You know, he's going to have a hard time beating Chad's horse if that horse runs back to his last race. But I'm going to try King Meister in this race. I think he's going to be a price, and I think he's just one of those horses who's just, you know, everything's pointing to him running better in this race with more distance.
Well, everything's pointing to you needing Mark Hennig to have another big day. And, of course, Yesterday with a 2-year-old winner and the 3-year-old maiden winner for Don Adam. And it one was Bourbon, right? And
they were both Don Adam.
Were they both Bourbon? Yeah. I thought one was Don Bourbon. Adam. Okay.
I think they were both Bourbon, but I'm not sure.
Wow. All right. I was traveling and just kept seeing the results, and nice.
He's having a very good year with his two-year-old, Mark. Yeah, definitely. And then we look at the winter memories. You know, I thought Clement it's a wide open race, actually, but I thought Clement maybe had it surrounded. Feel Glorious, to me, she felt like the horse to beat, and I'm not against her at all. I wish Sorrentina Lemon, when this race was originally carded, she had a great post, and now she's stuck on the outside. But I like that filly. She's got a lot of talent and a lot of upside, Sorrentina Lemon. So I like those two more than anybody else in that race, which is, you know, nothing clever. They're both kind of shorter prices in there. But I just thought it was, maybe a race for one of those two horses to sort of get the money. What else is there? Is there another turf style? Oh, there's a sprint, right?
Yes. How about Fire Key. Fire Key.
Yeah, Fire Key. How about Dave Donk in that race?
Listen, how about Dave Donk anytime? Honk, if you like Donk.
I do like him. JC Shooting Star. I'm going to bet that horse in this race. To me, this horse is a turf sprinter. I think that's what she wants. She can do a lot of different things, so it's fine that they try her on dirt and whatever, and they tried to stretch her out early in her career. But I think she's shown, you know, over the last couple of years that she's at her best sprinting on the turf. And if this race sets up, she needs pace. She's a closer. But if this race sets up, she will come running. And she's a big price in this race. I like her in here.
Well, we came running. And, boy, Mike Beer with the analysis shoes on and the lead handicapper for the Daily Racing Forum in New York. Mike, best of luck tomorrow.
Yeah, you too,
and
good
today
luck today and good luck tomorrow. Yeah.
Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Good luck to you today.
We got the Force out too, right? We've got the Empire Force out.
Yes, the Force out is tomorrow. That is correct. I'm going to throw a piece up on, not that, you know, that thrills me at all, but I'm going to throw a piece up on DRF.com later today, this afternoon at some point. I'll, you know, throw up some thoughts together for that whole sequence. So if anybody wants to check that out.
Excellent. And not a fan either, but tomorrow is the day to play it. The Force out days is when you play. Mike Beer, everybody. It's never too early for a beer when it's Mike Beer.
Thanks, Steve. Good luck.
Talk soon. Mike Beer, everybody. Back after this. Hour two rolls in, and James Scully will dot around the juvenile stakes, Tampa, Parks, Laurel, and whatever else Scully likes. Hammer coming up as well. Dave Grenig, Nick Tamaro, Jeff Siegel, Mike Welsh. And perhaps more. When Grenig joins us, we'll bring up the really nice gesture that we'll have John Hertler presenting the trophy for the Cigar Mile. And Hertler, of course, who retired from his long, successful training career. As beloved a figure as there is around New York racing. John Hertler. Back after this, James Scully.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective
time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only a low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the sum on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.